and it's a privilege to follow him today. I'm very honored to be here this morning and to have the privilege of bringing to you the Word of God today. When Pastor Fred called me a few months ago, I was thinking, oh my, what in the world is this Okie going to say to a bunch of folks from Illinois that's wondering where in the world did the assembly get this district superintendent from? But we are honored to be here, and I just want to say to Pastor Fred and to Terry, thank you, not only for just being here today, but for your incredibly faithful service to this congregation and to this community. Not only did I hear it just being here this weekend, but I also had the opportunity to read some of the results of a survey that your congregation took a few months ago. And I could see it over and over again in those results of their love and their appreciation for their pastor that loved them and cared for them, poured out his life in service, and not only to them, but to their God. So thank you. Along the way, I do bring you greetings this morning from the 80 churches of the Illinois District, and expressing to you our congratulations for your faithfulness over these 100 years of offering your service to this community. And Mayor, thank you for being here today. That's quite an honor that the Mayor would come and spend his time here this morning. Beck and I have been on this job for right at 12 weeks. it's a great adventure. We have appreciated the opportunity to see God's creation here in southern Illinois, traveling across the state. This past month, I was able to get in right at 6,000 miles in windshield time, just going from church to church and to a couple different meetings along the way. But what I'm finding out even more is that not only is God an artist extraordinaire, but he also has created a people that in the midst of our diversity, he has created us with a heart to love him. And I've just appreciated getting the opportunity to meet people along the way. I would say to you that it is my hope that we have the opportunity to get acquainted with you more and more throughout the years as we serve. Becky grew up in southwestern Minnesota. I grew up in southeast Kansas. We met at Mid-America Nazarene University. After we got married, we moved to Oklahoma to start our ministry. It wasn't intentional. It's just where God led us, and we've had stayed there for almost 38 years. And now he's seen fit to move us to Illinois. And we're not sure what he has in store, but we are ready for this big adventure. Our most significant names are Paul and Bibi. We are grandparents to 12 and with a 13th grandchild on the way. And one of the most difficult parts of leaving Oklahoma was that we had six of them right there, almost in our back door. And so we have moved from them, and we're thankful for technology today to keep us in touch with them along the way. My message this morning comes from the book of Joshua, and it's a story that I truly enjoy reading and believe that it's so pertinent to so much of our lives. And I want to draw attention to just one verse, but then I want to kind of retell the story of that. It's found in the book of Joshua chapter 6 verse 2. Joshua chapter 6 verse 2. And it simply says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and it's fighting men. Now, I have to admit to you, oftentimes I try to rewrite or try to rethink Scripture in such a way that it's personal. And so as I prepared for today, I kind of rewrote this verse to make it fit where we're at here in Springfield. And I believe that if we were to rewrite it, it might sound something like this, or my paraphrase would sound something like this. The Lord speaks to Springfield First Church of the Nazarene. See, I have delivered Springfield into your hands, along with all the broken people who are living in hopelessness and longing to find relief from the rat race of the world. Is it accurate to say that there are broken people in Springfield? I'm convinced that there are broken people all over the world. And you have the opportunity, and I've thoroughly enjoyed the testimonies last night and today of how you, the church, have opened up your arms to welcome people and to receive them into your fellowship and to be part of God's process working through you and in you to bring hope and healing into the lives of people. Because we are Grandma and Grandpa, or Paul and Bibi, we like to have books. We have tons of little books like this. And this is one of our favorites. And I have to admit to you, I often use it in my sermons because I think it speaks so well to where we are at and where we live. And I'm not going to read the whole book to you, although it's a pretty good book and you might get it. Although I did discover the other day, I was afraid that we had lost this one. We hadn't been able to find it. And so I looked it up on Amazon and discovered that it's worth a lot of money. And so I said to Becky, we need to take all of our little golden books and put them on the market. And she said, no way. But Mr. Bell's Fix-It Shop. And on the front a window of Mr. Bell's Fix-It Shop, there is this big sign that simply says, Mr. Bell's Fix-It Shop, I fix everything but broken hearts. And the story goes on to tell about a little girl named Jill that came to the shop and she fell in love with Mr. Bell and his shop and everything that he did. And one day when Mr. Bell was so very busy and Jill hadn't shown up after school to help him, and he wondered where she was at. And just as he was about to finish up his day and shut down the shop for the night, Jill busts through the door crying and holding this little doll that was her favorite doll that was all broken up. And she explained to Mr. Bell that she'd gone to visit her grandma and her grandma's new little puppy had chewed up her very favorite doll. And Mr. Bell said to Jill, you just need to go home and let me take care of your little doll. And then for the next few hours, he forgot about supper, he forgot about everything else, and he took all the extra stuff in his shop that everybody else thought he ought to get rid of, and he used it to fix up Jill's little doll. And the next morning, the next day after school, when Jill showed up, he said to Jill, come and see what I've done to your doll. And he holds up the doll, and it's all fixed up, and she grabs it and grabs Mr. Bell and hugs him and just expresses her appreciation of his work. And then she said to him, Mr. Bell, you need to change the sign on your front door, on your window. It says you can fix everything but broken hearts. But the truth is, you can fix even broken hearts. And as I've thought about that book over and over again, I think it's a great picture of how we, the church, the body of Christ, can become involved in the lives of people who are broken, and we can be used by Him to help fix broken hearts. Now, as we look at this passage in Joshua chapter 6, and we hear these words about Joshua getting ready to take the walls of Jericho, the city of Jericho, we begin to realize that there is a path to get there. We look back into Joshua chapter 1, and we begin to read that Moses had died, and Joshua takes over the leadership of the church, of the people. And as he begins to lead them, assured by God that no matter what, The same promise that God had made to Moses is the promise that God himself has for Joshua. And as I think about that, I want to say to you the church today in 2019, the same promise that God made to the church back in 1919, is that what it was? In 1919, I had to stop and do my math. Sorry, I'm a little slow. In 1919 is the same promise that he makes to you. Be strong and be very courageous. And he has a place for you to go. He has a future. And in Joshua chapter 2, as Joshua begins to now prepare the people and to tell them that God's going to do amazing things for them, he sends out two spies to over into Jericho. You might remember the story. They go there and the lady Rahab hides them and seeks their help to save them whenever the Israelites come into Jericho. The two spies protect her, and they give her instructions, you know, put the cord down the window, and when we come in, if you and your parents and your siblings are all in the house, we will protect you and we will care for you. But in the midst of that, they heard the story that the people of Jericho were scared to death of the Israelites, of the God of the Israelites who had delivered them, who had brought them out of Egypt, and who had defeated the kings and all this kind of stuff. And they were melting in fear, the scripture says. And I believe that there is a world in among us today that people are looking, they are hearing about something out there that can provide hope. Unfortunately, so many are looking in the wrong places, but you, the church, you have the opportunity to provide the answer, to provide the hope. And my encouragement for you today as you look forward into the future, know that God has a plan for you. I spent 11 years pastoring a Mustang, Oklahoma. I was not expecting this. In fact, Becky and I had talked when we left the panhandle of Oklahoma after pastoring there for almost 17 years. We moved to Mustang 11 years ago, and we really thought that that would probably be where we would finish out our ministry. But God had other things in store. God has an idea that he would go with us and that he would be available to help us reach our world. And I say to you this morning, God has a plan for you. In chapter 3, Joshua declares to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Can you imagine this conversation that begins to take place between Joshua and the people of Israel? These people that had wandered the desert for some 40 years. In fact, the scripture goes on to tell us that all the fighting men who left Egypt had now died. And so it was the sons of those people that were there, and they had to be wondering, can God really do something again? They had heard the story that God had delivered them from the hand of the Egyptian Pharaoh. They had heard the stories of God taking the people of Israel through and crossing the Red Sea. But they had yet to enter into the promised land. And chapter 3, Joshua says, it's going to be a new thing, a new way. God's going to do an amazing thing for us. So consecrate yourselves. Church, it is time for us to believe that God wants to continue to do amazing things for us and through you as the Church of the Nazarene in Springfield. He has good things in store, amazing things in store. So church, as Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, commit yourselves in, all in to the work of the Lord. He challenges us today. Consecrate ourselves, put ourselves at his disposal, allow him to use us in whatever way he would use us. May we continue to open up our arms and our doors to welcome into this community of faith the people who are broken and hopeless. In chapter 4, they cross over, and then Joshua tells the 12 men he has appointed to take up a stone on their shoulder. The priest have stepped into the water. The water is rolled back into a place called Adam. if you look in the midst of the scripture, which I find very interesting, that the place where the water peels back to is the place called Adam. And in the midst of that, these people, these thousands and thousands of Israelites begin to cross over, but the priests are holding the Ark of the Covenant in the middle. And Joshua says, each tribe choose one person to pick up a stone out of the middle of the Jordan River and carry it over to the side. And so they did that, and they brought the stones to Joshua, the scripture tells, and Joshua built a monument. And in the midst of that, Joshua says to the people, every time your children and your grandchildren see the pile of stones and they ask you, what do they mean? Tell them the story of God's deliverance. Oh, I appreciated so much the stories last night and this morning of God working in the lives of people through you, the congregation. Continue to tell those stories. Let your children and your grandchildren know of God's faithfulness and His ability to work and to redeem, as Pastor Fred mentioned. Then we go into chapter 5. Chapter 5 is really a chapter I'd really like to skip over, because it's a story. The people of God had crossed over Jordan into the land of Israel, the land flowing with milk and honey. But God is not finished with them yet. And they come in chapter 5 to the painful experience of circumcision. And they go through this process, this hard, this difficult time in the midst of their journey, in which God does something to seal their covenant with Him. And He prepares them for what He has for them in the future. You see, it wasn't enough just to cross over the Jordan River and get into the promised land, but He wanted the people of God to occupy the land. And before them was Jericho. And in chapter 6, God begins to explain the process by which, as we read, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered into your hands the people of Jericho and the fighting men. And so I want to say to you today, as we reflect on who we are as a people of God, the church, Springfield First Church of the Nazarene, Springfield, Illinois, God has done many faithful things. Each and every one of you could tell the story of God's faithfulness in your life, in the lives of your family. But He is not done with you yet. And if He's not done with us yet, then we need to know that there are going to be some Jerichos that we have to face. And in chapter 6, as God revealed His promise, He also then begins to give a plan by which they can occupy Jericho, that the walls will crumble. You remember the story? March around the city once, each day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around the city 7 times. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet blast, shout, and the walls will come crumbling down. And this morning, I believe that it's very important for us, the church, to ask the questions. We've relived and told of God's faithfulness, and we've moved forward, and we now have this pile of stones that we are remembering on this anniversary of God's faithfulness. But it's important for us to remember that God is not finished with us yet, and that we must take the Jerichos in our life. But to do that, we have to be obedient, and we have to ask the question, what are the walls that need to come crumbling down? What are the walls? Well, I think it's important for us in the life of the church, the body of Christ, to look and to ask that question of ourselves. Here are some walls that I think about in the life of the church, in the life of the people of God who are trying to follow after God. I think there's the wall of sin. sometimes in the life of the church. We get very comfortable with who we are, and we begin to think that, well, we've made the second trip to the altar, and life is enough, and that's all we need to do is get down to the altar twice, and we're good to go. But the reality is, our salvation is something that's to be worked out day after day. In Mark, it says to take up the cross when? Daily. And so we need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and we need to ask Him, is there any sin, willful disobedience of God's law, that's hindering us from seeing the walls crumble? If there is, I'm thankful to say to you today that there is an answer, that God forgives. He is faithful and just when we confess our sins, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So are there any walls in your life of sin that you need to repent of, that you need to seek God's forgiveness? I think also in the life of the church, there's an element of pride. In the midst of pride, we find that there comes prejudice. Those walls need to come crumbling down. We need to get on our face before God and seek Him and ask, okay, God, what is it? How can I circle these walls so that they will come falling down? Sometimes in the church, there's arrogance, self-reliance, complacency, even tradition. Tradition, how we've always done things, sometimes keep us from seeing the amazing things that God has in store for us. Now, there are some traditions that are wonderful. They've been and they will continue to be wonderful methods of sharing the good news. I think one of the traditions that we have at our house is to read to our grandkids. Becky loves to read to the kids. It's a wonderful tradition. And there's wonderful traditions in the church. But sometimes traditions can get in the way of the real purpose that God has for us. And so as a church, we need to continually ask the question, is this tradition fulfilling the call of God to reach and open our arms into broken people? What are the walls of Jericho that are before us that we need to circle around, being obedient to what God would say to us? And that when He declares that we shout, that we will see God do amazing things. For on the seventh day, they heard the trumpet blast, and they shouted, the walls came down. And the Israelite army surrounded and entered into the city, and they destroyed it according to God's plan. And as I think of Springfield First Church of the Nazarene and what He has in store for you, I believe that He wants you to inherit all of the promised land that He has for you. You have many, many stories of God's faithfulness to bring you to this point. But He is not content with us staying right here. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to become all that He wants us to be in the days ahead. So my friends, today as I close this message, I want to say to you, it's not Mr. Bell that can fix the broken people, but it's Jesus Christ. And when He lives and reigns in our hearts, and we live out that faith day after day, and we cross through the Jordans, and we begin to surround the Jerichos, we will see the walls come crumbling down, because God is the same God that spoke to Joshua. And He still speaks today to you and to me. I want to close by praying for you as a church. And as I pray for you, if there's sin in your life that's keeping you from seeing the walls, I want to encourage you today to repent. Because God truly wants to do amazing things in your life. He wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to give you strength to face each day. If there are other issues, pride, prejudice, traditions that you're holding on to that's keeping you from experiencing all that God has for you, it's time today for you to say, okay, God, I surrender them to you, and I will be obedient to what you would ask me to do in the days ahead, to continue to be part of this incredible community of faith that God has placed here to reach into the lives of the broken of this community, to this city, to make a difference in the days ahead. So as I pray, open your hearts, listen to the Holy Spirit, and respond to what He would ask you to do. Lord Jesus, today, you have called us to be your people. We are not worthy. There is nothing that we have done that would merit your speaking in our lives. There is nothing that we have done that would merit you using us to touch folks like this precious sister today that shared of your redeeming grace and your reaching out to her through the body of Christ. It's not what we can do, but it's what you can do through us. So Father, this morning as we end this service and we sing to your glory today, I pray that we each would allow your Spirit to examine our hearts, that we would confess those things that are in us that are struggling to be all that you want us to be, and that we would become individuals that are bonded together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that we would be willing to do whatever you would ask us to do, that we would be completely obedient, even when it doesn't make much sense, but that we would walk around the city once each day, and on the seventh day, when you sound the trumpet, we would shout loud and clear and watch the amazing things